All right, people, say good morning. Good morning. So we have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. I want to begin first of all by thanking Yehuda for going ahead and giving the shiur while I was gone. But I also just, while we're doing the daf, I do want to make a plug for the Gan HaEmunah shiur. We just started a new sefer today. Bosai, I know some people say Musar is not for me, Hashkafa is not for me. But say, just word to the wise. If you say Musar is not for you, by the way, Musar is for you. So it's very important, you know, to start the day, not just, we get everything from Gemara, that's absolutely true. But to be able to start it with a little bit of hashkafa, real hashkafa, that could go ahead and be madrichas in life, because life is exceptionally complicated and circuitous. So it's an incredible opportunity we have. If you can't get here on time, there's always the podcast. But Lamaisa, it's an incredible opportunity to start your day with energizing your neshama in a different way than Gemara does. In any event, so we're going to start on Daf Nun Ches, Amud Aleph 58. I want to thank you, Yehuda, again for giving the shiur while I was gone. But we're going to start on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. We have a beautiful Gemara today. Mita, end of the first line. Mita shel talmidei chachamim ketzad. But I remember again, the Gemara was contrasting the table of a Talmid Chacham, the table of an Am Haaretz. So the Gemara asks, what does the bed of a Talmid Chacham look like? Ketzad. Kol shein tachta ela sandalin bimos hachama umne'alin bimos hageshana. We'll say this is amazing. You can tell the bed of a Talmud Chacham by what it has stored under it. If it has sandalin, now we'll say sandalin, the Rashbam points out, are shemanichin ad yimos hageshana sheitztarech lahem. So sandalin, we'll say, are like thicker leather shoes. If it has sandalin, ultimately again under it during the summer, sandalin are the winter shoes or the rainy weather shoes. So the Talmid Chacham has under his bed the sandalin during the summer, and he has his mina'olim, which I will say are the summer shoes, and he has those under his bed during the winter. In other words, that all the Talmid Chacham has under his bed is the foot gear that he is not wearing. He doesn't store anything else under his bed. V'shal Am Haaretz. But we'll say, if you look under the bed of an Am Haaretz, then what does it look like? Doma la'otzar balus. It looks, we'll say, if you look at the Rashbam says, otzar balus. He says, if you look at the last two lines of that, Rashbam, kol dabar manichin tachas mitasan va'ochlin v'kelim. You look under the bed of an Am Haaretz, and what do you find there? Mamish hefkervelt. Everything is under the bed of the Am Haaretz. Mama, she's got everything stooped under there. So we'll say, it's an interesting idea. So why is that the defining distinction between a Talmud Chacham and between an Am Haaretz about how they keep under their bed? So we'll say, it's an incredible yisod. It's a din in Seder. It's a din in order. What makes a Talmud Chacham, we'll say, is that he has a Seder HaChayim. There has to be an order to the way you live life. That order manifests itself in a number of different ways. How do you spend your time? That order manifests itself in timeliness. Is a person adhered to a schedule? That order manifests itself ultimately again to a hierarchy of tasks that I want to accomplish throughout the day. A Talmud Chacham has a Seder in his life. And that's why I both say a person is a Talmud Chacham. In other words, to become a Talmud Chacham requires discipline. Without that discipline, you can't accomplish anything in life. So if there's Seder, then there's discipline. If there's no Seder, then by definition, there's no discipline in life. If there's no discipline in life, then growth is ultimately, again, impossible. So we'll say, the modern day application of this might be what your trunk looks like. Right? So, right? So meaning, how much stuff is in your trunk? Right? Is there a Seder? Is everything thrown in? So the Am Haaretz just throws everything in. There's no Seder to anything. Where there's no Seder, there's no growth. Where there's no growth, there's no self-actualization. With Talmid Chacham, there's a Seder. Where there's Seder, there's growth. Where there's growth, there's self-actualization. Fine, weiter. So it says the Gemara. We'll say, this is now, I just have to tell you, like, it's like there's always like a little bit of like a spiritual sigh when you come back from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. And I have to say, when I was preparing this Gemara yesterday, I felt like Zachisi, that I came back to this Gemara. So listen to this. Rabbi Bina, have him come at Sain Ma'arta. Rabbi Bina, but say now, Rabbi Bina, just so you understand, was a fourth generation Tano. There were approximately four generations of Tanoim. Then the era of the Amoraim began. Rabbi Bina, who is buried outside of Tzfat. buried outside of Tzfat. See, he's a fourth generation Tana. He's often grouped with the Amoraim, not the Tana, but he is a Tana. Rabbi Benoah have a Kamsai Ma'ardos. Rabbi Benoah had an interesting thing. He used to go ahead to the Kvarim and mark off the Kvarim. If you look at the Rashban, he says, Rabbi Benoah, Adam Gadol v'chashuv hayal v'fichak nitan lo rishus likanes b'kivei tzadikim. Aval achra lo kidamina k'gadol, it's fine. So I'll say, so what happens? So Rabbi Benoah used to go ahead and mark off graves. He used to demarcate graves. Now the reason he would do that was that people should know where a kever is, and they could avoid it in order not to contract tumah. So I'll say, so get ready to this. Where does he come? Kimatala ma'arta da Avram. He comes to Marasa Machpelah. He comes to Maras HaMachpelah to go out and demarcate the cave. So he wants to go into the cave. So the idea over here is he wants to go into the cave. Really what he wants to do is he wants to understand the dimensions of the cave so that on ground level, he can go ahead and demarcate the area so people know where not to walk. So he goes into Maras HaMachpelah. So what happens? He goes into the cave, and who's there? Eliezer, the servant of Avram Avinu, is standing at the entranceway of the cave. Amalei, my ka'avid Avram. So we'll say, listen to this beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Benoah asks Eliezer, what is Avram Avinu doing now? Amalei, gani bikanfa de Sarah. He is laying in the arms of Sarah Imenu. He's laying in the arms of Sarah Imenu. And ultimately, she is literally translated, she is looking in his head. She's looking in his head. Now, Bosai, now I'll just tell you, we don't have sufficient time to do this because I only have until 7:30. But it's a joke. So we'll say, so I'll just, all right, you know what, we'll do it. Okay, I'll do it quickly. So we'll say, so I'll just tell you, Maral. The Maral says on this, he says, what does this mean that Avram Avinu is laying in the arms of Sari Imenu? What does that mean? So just read to you two answers of the Maral. The Maral says, Do, ki Avram v'sara misachtim atzmam, mitzad atzmam yoser, mikol isha v'isha ba'olam. Listen to how beautiful this is. Says the idea, the image of Avram laying in the arms of Sarah Imenu after death represents the incredible unity that this man and woman had together. Avram and Sarah Imenu were misachtim. They became one. Yosem called Ishvi Ishavolam. We'll say, Alva, every person should be zocha to a beautiful, passionate, loving, unified marriage. But Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu had something so special. Vezesha Kosov, oh, Vezesha Kosov Omer, Habitu al Avram Avicha, Val Sart Cholechem, Ki Echad Karasiv, Val Shneim Omer, Ki Echad Karasiv, Ki Avram Im Sarahu Echad. So says the Maral, the point of this Gemara over here is to show the incredible unity, the marital unity of Avram and Sarah. That in life they were one, and in death Avram Avinu spends his time lying in the arms of Sarah Imenu. The Ben Yoyada has a little bit of a different approach in all of this. The Ben Yoyada says, all right, you know, we'll save the Ben Yoyada for later. So what happens? So he says, Amarlei, Leo. So he says, Amarlei, Zil, first white line, Amarlei, Zil Eimalei, Bina Kaya Baba. So Rabbi Benoah says to Eliezer, go tell Avram Avinu that Benoah, Rabbi Benoah, is here at the entranceway. So Eliezer goes to Avram Avinu, Amarlei, Leo. Let him come in. Now, under normal circumstances, the reason why, according to this Gemara, they would have been reticent to let someone into the cave of Avram Avinu, because people would interpret seeing Avram Avinu in the arms of Sarah as just a pure intimate gesture. But of course, again, this physical contact, this intimacy between Avram and Sarah, represented a much higher spiritual connection. So Avram Avinu said to Eliezer, let Rabbi Benoah in, because Meido Yediyah Yetzer Bahai Amaleka, because he knows that there is no Yetzer in this world. What happened? Ayo, Ayin V'Nafak. So we'll say, so what happens? So Rabbi Benoah went in, and he measured the dimensions, ultimately, of the Maras HaMachpelah, or at least of the cave of Avram and Sarah, and he was able to go ahead and now demarcate that area on top. Now, after he finished, now it appears that he went to the caves of the Avos and the Imos. After he did that, he wanted to go to the cave of Adam HaRishon. So, when he came to the cave of Adam HaRishon, Sabaskol came out and said, Nistakalta bidimus dikyuni, bidiyukni atzma al tistakel. You looked at something that was made in my image, but something that was made in my direct image, you may not look at it at all. We'll say, now what the Gemara is going to say over here is that at the end of the day, Adam HaRishon was the first man, and he was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which meant that his resemblance to God was greater than, we all resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but none of us resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Adam HaRishon resembled HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bas Kol came out and said to Rabbi Noah, you already looked at a replica of my image. You look at the Avos, you look at the Imos, you can't look at Adam HaRishon. How about, you know, let's see your name, Arto. So but Rabbi Noah says to the Bas Kol, so can you imagine this? Rabbi Noah says back to the Bas Kol, I have to go ahead and demarcate the area of the Ma'ara, to which the Bas Kol said, Kemidas hachitzona, kach midas hapenimis. Don't worry, again, all of the caves have the same measurements. So the same measurements of the ones that you had of the Avos and Imos, that's the same measurement of Adam HaRishon. Ulamanda mishnei batim zulam al mizu, kemidas alyona, kach midas hachtatona. So basically, you know, we have imachlokes as to how exactly Marasa Machpelah, what the dimensions were. Is it one set of caves, one alongside the other? In other words, one inside of the other? Or is it multiple caves, one on top of the other? Either way, what the Bas Kol ultimately was saying to Rabbi Bana was what? Was that all the caves have the same dimensions. So once you know the dimensions of Avram and Sarah, you know the dimensions already of Adam and Chava as well. Amar Rabbi Bana said, this takalti b'shnei akevav, I was able to see the two ankles of Adam HaRishon, v'domim l'shnei galgalei chama. And they looked like two balls of sun. I was about saying that the flesh of Adam HaRishon, the skin of Adam HaRishon, was so radiant that even seeing his ankles were as luminescent as the sun itself. Hakob, so we'll say now the Gemara talks, now that we speak about the radiance of Adam HaRishon's skin, even just his ankles, so the Gemara talks about again the beauty of other great people. Hakob bifnei Sarah, kikov bifnei Adam. They both say, any woman or any person who tried to compare their beauty to Sarah, it'd be like comparing a monkey with a human being. Right? That obviously, again, a monkey has no beauty in front of a human being. Therefore, the beauty of Sarah Imenu eclipsed the beauty of everyone and everything else. Sarah bifnei Chava. They both say, if you compare the beauty of Sarah Imenu to the beauty of Chava, kekof bifnei Adam. Would have been like a monkey in front of a person. In other words, the beauty of Chava eclipsed the beauty of Sari Menu. Chava bifnei Adam, kekov bifnei Adam. This is very interesting. The beauty of Chava was eclipsed by the beauty of Adam. Like a comparison between a monkey and a person. So we'll say, you see over here, by the way, also, that when the Gemara speaks about beauty, we often associate beauty with women. What the Gemara is referring to over here is almost some type of luminescent beauty. That the luminescent beauty of Adam eclipsed the luminescent beauty of everything else, primarily because of that Adam HaRishon was created directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even Chava was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is created from Adam. So the Gemara goes right to Adam b'fnei Shechina, but the beauty of Adam HaRishon compared to the beauty of the Shechina, kekof b'nei Adam, be like a monkey compared to a person. Shufrei d'Rav Kahana, so we'll say again, another beautiful Gemara. The beauty of Rav Kahana is me'in shufrei d'Rav. Let's say the beauty of Rav Kahana was only like a little bit of Me'in, was like a semblance of the beauty of Rav. Shufrei d'Rav, the beauty of Rav, Me'in Shufrei d'Rabbi Avo, was only a semblance of the beauty of Rabbi Avo. Shufrei d'Rabbi Avo, Me'in Shufrei d'Yaakov Avinu, the beauty of Rabbi Avo, these were all exceptionally beautiful and handsome people, was only partially compared to the beauty of Yaakov Avinu. Shufrei d'Yaakov Avinu, Me'in Shufrei d'Adam HaRishon. The beauty of Yaakov Avinu was only partially like the beauty of Adam HaRishon. So I'll say the Gemara goes weiter. So I'll say again, an amazing, amazing Gemara of Rabbi Benoah going ahead. First of all, I'll say you have to understand something. What's the pshat? Baruchat Adonai Elohim Melech Olam Shakol Nia B'Dvaro. We say what's the pshat? It's a very important yisod. Why is Rabbi Benoah granted entry into Maaseh Machpelah? Right? Why is he granted entry to speak with Avram Avinu? Right? To even see the ankles of Adam Rishon? What's the pshat? Because what was he doing? What was he doing? He was demarcating the graves. Why is he demarcating the graves? It's a public service. It was like, when you do things for the klal, you are granted a special dimension of access to ruchnius. You could accomplish a lot more for doing for others than what you could accomplish doing yourself. I guarantee you, if Rabbi Binah was just learning Daf Yomi and he asked to get into Marasa Machpelah, he would not have been granted access. But because he was performing a public service, because he was trying to serve his people, he was trying to serve the Klal, when you try to serve the Klal Bosai with your abilities, you are granted an extra added dimension of Siyata Dishmaya. Gemara goes right there. This is an amazing Maisa. Hu Amagusha. Now, Magusha, Bosai, is four lines down in the Rashbam. Amagusha Mechashif. What's a Mechashif? Not to be confused, like with a machashef, like a mother-in-law, right? A machashef is a sorcerer. So what happens? To have a chatit shachvi. Now, we'll say this sorcerer used to steal the clothing of corpses. Now, it's not clear exactly why he did this. It's possible that he was just a grave robber. Although if he was just a grave robber, it's interesting. Why does the Gemara need to introduce the fact that he was a sorcerer? It could be that some of his spells just require the clothing of dead people. In any event, he would steal the clothing from corpses. So watch this. Kimata ama'arta d'Rav Tuvi bar Masna. So when he went to the grave of Rav Tuvi bar Masna and tried to take Rav Tuvi's clothing or whatever articles were in the grave, tafsei b'digne. So Rav Tuvi Rabosai, can you imagine this? Rav Tuvi's hand extended and grabbed the sorcerer by his beard. Abaye came along. And Abaye asked the neshama of Rav Tuvi bar Masna to please let go of the beard of this guy. Now, both say, so that story is amazing. But watch this. So the Gemara says, Lashana achrisi hadar asa. Now, both say, the sorcerer comes again and tries this again at the grave of Rav Tuvi bar Masna. The next year he comes along and tries to once again rob the grave. Hadar asa tafse bidikne. And what happens? And again, Rav Tuvi bar Masna grabs the thief by the beard. So asa baye lo shafke. So we'll say Abaye came along and tried to dive into the neshama or tried to ask the neshama of Tuvi bar Masna to once again let go. He would not let go. And the icy mispera the gazi ladikne. Until ultimately they had to bring scissors and cut the beard of the thief in order to extract him. Hahud amalu. I will say there was a man who said the following. Now the Rashbam points out over here. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's about five lines down the Rashbam. Mitzava machmas hahud amaluhu. Mitzava machmas misahaya o mechalek nechasav lebanav al pif. So I will say a man was on his deathbed, and he was dividing up his estate amongst his children, and he said the following. Hahud amaluhu chavisa de afra lechad. So he gave. He said the following. He had three sons. He said one son should get a barrel of dirt. One barrel of bones should go to my second son. And the barrel of cotton should go to another one of my sons. We'll say there's only one problem. So the guy dies, father dies, and the sons have absolutely no idea what their father was talking about. A barrel of earth, a barrel of bones, and a barrel of cotton. So what happened? So they came for Rabbi Binah. We'll say the common theme over here is Rabbi Binah. Isluchu ara. So Rabbi Binah asked them the following: Did your father own any land? So Amru Le'in. They said yes. To which Rabbi Binah said, oh, when your father said the barrel of earth, that refers to his land. So whoever he gave the barrel of earth to, he was conveying ownership of his properties to that son. Isluchu chiyusa. Did your father own any animals? Amru Le'in. So they said yes. So we'll say, so then that's the barrel of bones. The bones refer ultimately to the animals. So whoever gave the barrel of bones, so you're the owner of the animals. Esluchu bistarki. Do you have bistarki? And the Rashbam says over here, komine begadim asui mimuchin. Do you have clothing or garments that are made from cotton? Esluchu bistarki in. So if, and they said, yes, we do. To which he said, well, that's ultimately, again, what he means by the barrel of cotton. So the Gemara says, ihachi hachi karmeluchu. So Bosa says, so your father was just using a metaphor to divide up his estate for whatever the reason. And therefore, again, he was conveying to different ones of you ownership interest in his land, his livestock, and his clothing. Hu gavra, let's listen to this, Maisa. Incredible. Hu gavra, dishama ledvisu. So a man once overheard his wife saying the line, the kamar labarta. A mother was once saying to her daughter, amai lo tzinias bi'isura. So we'll say, so apparently, so man overhears his wife having a conversation with the daughter. The daughter was exceptionally immoral and engaging in many illicit affairs. So the mother gives her musr. Rabbi say this is a different kind of musr. The mother says, "Amai lo tzinias bi'isura? Why are you not more discreet in your illicit affairs. In other words, the mother's not telling her to stop. The mother is just saying, you know, you need to cover your tracks a little bit better. Right? Why? Because the mother says about herself, Hach isisa asara bani isla. I, the mother referring to herself, I have 10 sons, velesli me'avuch elachad, and only one of them is from your father. So what she's saying, but yet again, I get a shkayach because no one ever knew, right? As far as everyone thinks, I'm a chatzos lady, you know, I'm good. Hey, and again, even your father doesn't know about it. Of course, someone say, who overhears this whole thing? Right, who overhears this whole thing? The father, the husband overhears this. And I will say, now the husband, interestingly enough, and again, whatever the dynamics are over here, the husband never confronts his wife about this. But what happens when he dies, kishachet, as he's dying, amar luhu, The father said on his deathbed, I leave all of my property to one of my sons. So what the father was saying, about say, so apparently for whatever the reason during his lifetime, this dynamic was never dealt with. But on his deathbed he says, I leave all of my property to my, essentially what he says is to my one son. The obvious cache is, lo yadi lahai meinaihu. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the problem was what? So remember, again, I will say, it's clear from this, my soul, so the sons themselves had no idea. In other words, they all think also that this was their father. They have no idea what their mother did. So the mice, again, no one knows who the father left this property to. So they come up for Rabbi Noah for an eight, so what should we do? Amr Luhus, Rabbi Noah says, here's what you should do. Zilu chavuto kivar davuchun, adikoi umigli luchu, lehe meinaihu shavka. Go to the grave, and I want you to literally hit the grave of your father until his neshama arises and tells you which son he left his property to. So what happened? Ozlu kulhu. So we'll say all of them went except for one son. Hahu dibrei habalu ozl. So we'll say one son did not go. Why did one son not go? Because we'll say at the end of the day he felt that it would be a lack of covet to his father to hit the grave. Be a lack of cover to the father to hit the grave. So Amar Luhu, Kulu Nechasi Dahai, Kulu Nechasi Dahai. Tushay Bina says, the son that the father meant was that one son who would not pound on the grave of the father. The one son who had that greatest level of reverence to his father, that he would not pound on the grave, even for the Yerusha, that's the son. Now the Marsha points out over here, this is also based on the idea that the Gemara says that some of the signs of Mamzerus, some of the signs, I mean, how do you know if someone's a Mamzer? Some of the signs, some of the telltale signs of Mamzerus, both say is Azus and Gaiva and Kaas. If a person is an incredible Baal Gaiva, a person is exceptionally arrogant, a person is exceptionally brazen, a person has an exceptionally short fuse, those could be signs of Mamzerus. Now, I beg you, don't go out and start like profiling now. Ah, I knew it. I knew it the whole time. The whole time, you mamzer. Right? No, like, don't. Right? What it means is these are some of the characters, which makes sense. I will say, you know, how we are conceived, the circumstances under which we are conceived, absolutely has a dramatic impact upon the quality of our neshamas. That's why, again, there are so many halachos that regulate intimacy, because intimacy has to happen in a framework as well. Because if it doesn't happen in a framework, then lamaise again, that has an impact on the neshama of the vlad. So ultimately, again, a child who is a mamzer, there's a certain pigam, there's a certain negative residue on that neshama. So Abinoah says, children who are willing to go and pound, literally beat down on the grave of a father with no respect to the neshama of the father, there's a certain azus there. Abinah therefore said, again, I would say, is this a precise science? Abinah clearly felt that it was enough to paskin. So I will say, so what happens? The other nine are obviously not happy, because I will say, remember again, the other nine, they have no idea about this. And I will say, just so you should know, in general, we've spoken about this in other Masechtos, I will say, I know this is going to sound like a strange question. How does a person know that their father is their father? In other words, I know my mother is my mother because she birthed me. How does a person really know any time that their father is their father? Maybe a woman was Nizana. Maybe it was Nizana with someone else, and someone else is the father. Okay, so today you have DNA test. But how do you know? So I said, there's a klal in halacha. The klal in halacha is that even if a woman was Mizana, Rov Bi'ilos Achar Habal. Right? The majority, we assume that even though she did have a relationship with someone else, the majority of relations she had was with her husband. Therefore, again, Rov says that the person who says he is my father is my father. don't use that on Father's Day, right? You know, it doesn't. Right? But the idea over here is that Lameisa. That's how. So the other nine sons have absolutely no idea what's happening over here. Again, maybe they knew their mother was a little bit promiscuous, but still, Lameisa, even on a Rove level, their father should be the father. So they're not happy with this. So what happens? Azu achlu kurtzei b'malka. We'll say they go to tell on Rabbi Beno to the king. To the king Rabbos, and at this point in time, this already, again, there are Gentile rulers who are in charge of Eretz Yisrael, so they go ahead and they tell on Rabbi Benah to the authorities. So what happens? So the Gemara says, So they told the authorities, there is this man, there is this Jew, who is extracting money from people without witnesses and without any kind of proof. Which Rabbah says, essentially, is what Rabbi Benoah did in this particular situation. He extracted money really without any kind of proof. What happens? Asyu chavshum. They incarcerate Rabbi Benoah. Azul devisu. So Rabbah says, Rabbi Benoah's wife wants to free him. So the way she wants to free him is essentially by showing the Gentile captors that they are holding on to a very smart and holy man, and they should release him. So she comes with a question. Azla devisu amrluhu avdechat havelet. So she says to the Gentile judges the following: I had one servant. Pasku, what happens? Pasku l'reshe, he was stolen. The thieves cut off his head. Pashtu l'mishche, they skinned him. Achlu bisra, they ate his flesh. The kamali beimaya, they filled him up with water. Umashke beilechavre, and they gave to drink to his friends. V'lo koyav leidmei, and they never reimbursed me for the cost. V'lo agre, and they never gave me any rent. So what's if she comes to them with this case, and they say to this lady, lo yodimai kamali, what are you talking about? They have no idea, meaning, what are you talking about? What's your case? What are you asking? So Amri, let's go ask the Jew, right? Why don't we go ask the Jewish wise man who's here? Ask him what this means. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Noah says, I'll tell you what her question is. Zurunka amruluhu. So we'll say, Zurunka, the Rashbam says over here, note shalor. What Rabbi Noah says to them is, what she's calling a slave really refers to a sheep. Because the sheep, Rabbi Noah says, ultimately, again, is at the service of its master. So what she's saying is, someone stole a sheep from me. They went ahead and they killed the sheep. They skinned it. They used the skin to make a bottle, to make a wine skin or a water skin. And now, again, they're using that water skin to give others water. And they've never reimbursed me for cost, nor for rent. So Rabbi Noah says, therefore, Rabbi Noah explained to them what the kasha was. So the Gemara says, Amri hol v'chacham kolei hai, leisev abava v'nidon dino. So I said, Rabbi Beno, since you're such a wise man, you shouldn't sit in jail, rather sit by the gates of the city and help us adjudicate cases. Bosai, listen to this. Chazad duhu kasev ba'avulam. So apparently, again, Bosai, by the gates of this city, whichever city this was, so they had like certain sayings etched on the doors of the city. And what did they say etched on the doors of the city? It said, kol dayin demiskiri ledin lo shmei dayin. Any judge who is ever called to judgment is not a real judge. Let's just say, if a judge is called to be a defendant in a case, then he's no longer fit to be a judge. Because if you yourself are being brought to court, you cannot sit in judgment of others. So let's listen to this. Amar luhu, and that's Rabbeinu says that makes no sense. El me'ata ase inish me'alma. We'll say, amu deis. U mazmin luhu ladina pasle. So we'll say, you know, Rabbeinu says, you know, we'll say, it doesn't take anything to accuse someone of something, right? They will say, if I want to accuse someone of something, then what? I go to the authorities, I accuse someone of something, and I will say, again, even we know today, the threshold for proof to make an accusation is not all that high. I can make an accusation about anything. So Rabbi Noah essentially says, is that just because someone makes an accusation, and the dayan is brought to court, therefore the dayan is no longer fit to serve, Ella, rather, Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Nasa, what you mean to say is the following. Ella kol dain de miskere ledin, umafkin mine mamona bedin, lavshedan. Rabbi Osai, what it means is, any judge who is called to court, and what? Is found guilty, and has money extracted from him, that person should not sit in judgment. Therefore, again, Kasuach, Rabbi Osai, so what did they do? They etched in an addendum to that saying on the door. So the first line read, any judge who is brought to din should not be a judge, but they added on, like we'll say, a line underneath. And what did it say? Baram sabid yudai. We'll say, the second line said, but the Jewish elders say, called Dayan the Miskula Dinu Mafkine Amona Badin Lav Shme Dayan. But the Jews say that no, we'll say any judge who is brought to justice, who is brought to judgment, brought to court, and money is extracted from him, then what Rabbi will say? Then Lamai said that person shouldn't sit in judgment. So say, by the way, you understand what Rabbi Benoit was trying to tell them. Rabbi Benoit was saying, this is an incredible yisod in life. Just because someone says something doesn't automatically mean that it's correct. Rabbi said this happens all of the time. You know, especially in matters of klal work, matters of the Jewish community, or this even in the world in general. Some people have very loud voices, and some people like to scream above the rest. Well, say, just because someone says something doesn't automatically mean it's correct. Just because someone offers an opinion doesn't automatically mean it's correct. Everyone is entitled to an opinion. Everyone is entitled to machshava. But just because you think it doesn't automatically mean that everybody else has to accept it. So Rabbi Benoit is saying that just because someone comes along and says that this is the MS, that's fine. That might be your opinion, that might be your machshava, that might be your idea, but lav dafka, that makes it anybody else's emes. An incredible muster in life. The Gemara goes weiter. Chaza dichsiv, beruah hosei, this is great. So what else? There was another saying on this wall. So we'll say this wall must have been amazing because this wall had all of these different sayings on it. Like when you came into the city, which you must remember, we know historically, we know this both in Jewish communities and other communities, the judges often would sit by the gates of the community. So they had all of these sayings on the gates of the city. So what did it say? Chaza dichsiv, berosh kol masa anidam, at the head of all death is me, blood. Berosh kol chayon anichamar, at the head of all life, or at the head of all healing, is me, wine. Now what that seems to say is the following. They're conventionally held proof that when somebody died, almost all deaths were a result of having too much blood in your system. Now this goes back to the ancient feeling that the cure to everything was what? Was bloodletting. Right? If you bloodlet, you let the disease out of the body, the excess blood. And if you don't bloodlet, there's too much disease, there's too much blood in the body. So they had this statement that said, pretty much, at the cause of all death is blood, and the cause of all healing, the cause of all health in life is wine. Second one sounds good, right? But I'll say, so says the Gemara, listen to this. So, Rabbi Benoit sees and says, Elam me'ata, denafa me'igro meis. If a person falls off the roof and dies, denafa me'diklo meis, or a person falls off a palm tree and dies, damakatle, we'll say, did that person die because of too much blood? And those are Rabbi Benoit saying, it's not true. Not all death is because of blood. Vesu, man dedarki lamemas. Furthermore, again, if somebody is dying, if you give them a glass of wine, are they going to suddenly be healed? So Rabbi Noah says, your statements are incorrect. Rather, here's what you should write. What you have to write is the following. At the head of many illnesses, not death, but rather, again, the cause of many illnesses is blood. I will say, because remember, again, this whole bloodletting thing, whenever Chazal speak about science, so science, medicine, we didn't have our own science and medicine. Whatever we had in science and medicine is what the Welt had in science and medicine. So we believe in bloodletting just like everyone else. So Rabbi Benoit says, I agree with you. Rather, you just have to reframe the statement. The cause of most illnesses is blood. In other words, lack of bloodletting causes most illnesses. And Berosh Kol Asvan Anachamar. And again, the main ingredient in most medicinal healing is wine. Wine has an incredibly curative effect for most illnesses. So we'll say, so what do? They added another addendum to the statement on the door. Kas v'lachi, baram sabai diyodai amar, berosh kol marin anadam, berosh kol asvan anachamar. So we'll say, so remember, on the entrance of the city, they said, at the head of all death is blood, at the head of all healing is wine, and then they added an addendum, but the elders of the Jews say, at the head of all illnesses, it was blood, at the top of the list of all curative items is wine. Ba'aser de les chamar. So I say the Gemara just gives a statement over here. Ba'aser de les chamar, in a place where there is no wine. Taman misba'u saman. Excuse me. Ba'aser de les chamar taman misba'u saman. I will say, in a place where there is not a sufficient supply of wine, they're going to need a lot more medicine. In other words, I will say, wine could cure a lot of things apparently. Where there's not an ample supply of wine, you're going to have to rely a lot more on medicines. So we'll say, ksiv apischa de kaputkia. So we'll say, now that we're talking about things that are written at the entranceway of cities, the Gemara just says over here, that in the entranceway of the city of Kaputkia, it said, Anpak, Angov, Antal. That the Shiurim of Anpak, Angov, and Antal are all the same shit. Now, why would they write this at the entranceway of the city? Because they will say, if you're coming into the city to do commerce, it was good to know the local custom about how they called different measures. So the Gemara says over here that Anpak, Angov, and Antal are all one measure. Ve'ezu Antal, what is the Antal? Zehu Revius Shaltor. So this refers ultimately again to what we call a Revius. A beautiful Gemara. So just one time when we have a little bit more time, I am going to go back and tell you the beautiful Ben Yehoyada and the Avram and Sarmas Machpelah, but we'll go weiter for now. Says the Mishnah. We'll say back to Cheskas Habatim. Back to Ches. All right, let me just tell you one thing. So much here. No, let's do this. Says the Mishnah. I'll go because I have one piece on the Mishnah. Hamar zev in lo chazaka. So also listen to this. So much gemara, so little time. Hamar zev in lo chazaka. Rabbi say, now we're talking about over here, back to chazakas. But now it's a different kind of situation. Hamar zev, Rabbi say, the Rashbam points out over here, is tzinur katon, urigilin litlosa l'sof tzinur gadol. So we'll say, I don't know what you call this exactly in English, but if you imagine, right, you have a gutter, which we're going to talk about, then you have the pipe that comes down from the gutter. Downspout. And then you have again, but the downspout often doesn't go just straight down. You have like the curve thing there. Is that still called downspout? Elbow. Good. So the downspout and the elbow, right? The downspout and the elbow. So it says, that's the, so what happens? Says the Gemara, Hamar Zev Ein Lo Chazaka, V'yesh Lo Mekomo Chazaka. Now we'll say, the Mar Zev we're going to see does not have a Chazaka, but its Makom does have a Chazaka. Now we'll say, now essentially what we're talking about over here is the following situation. I have my house, and then what happens? My downspout and the elbow essentially extend into my neighbor's property. So the runoff, the water is, as they say, it's sheeting. Right? Is that the right term? Cascading. Yes. Cascading. Good. Right? I thought it was sheeting. No? Okay, good. Whatever. Cascading. Cascading sounds so romantic. Right? It's cascading. Right? It's cascading into my fellow's property. So I'll say, so again, this is an interesting case because we're talking about over here, my runoff water is going into my neighbor's property. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, if my downspout is there for three or more years, I have a chazaka to keep the downspout there. So what the Mishnah says, we're going to have to explain this to the Gemara, I have a chazaka for the downspout, but not necessarily a chazaka for the makom. Not necessarily for the chazaka of the space. We'll see what that means. Hamaschila, Bose, maschila is the gutter. Yeshla chazaka. So that is a chazaka as well. Now, Bose, now what that seems to mean over here, we're going to discuss, is a case of where my gutter is extending over my friend's property. So we'll discuss exactly what the chazaka is, for airspace or for whatever else. So, but again, if my gutter is there for more than 3 years, I have a chazaka on that space. Sulam ha-mitzri, ein lo chazaka. I will say, sulam ha-mitzri, the Rashbam points out of here, is katan haya, hichach ein lo chazaka. I will say, a sulam ha-mitzri, Egyptian ladder, is a small ladder. So if I have left a small ladder in my friend's property for more than 3 years, then I will say, I don't have a chazaka on that space. Why? Because since it's a small ladder and it's only to be moved, it's constantly moved, therefore what? Therefore, again, there is no chazaka. My friend, or my neighbor, I should say, doesn't object to its presence because it is a small mobile item. With tzuri yesh chazaka, Rabbi will say, for a tzuri ladder, so that is a much larger item. Therefore, if it's left on my friends, it's much more permanent. If it's left there for 3 years, there is a chazaka on that space. Chalon ha-mitzris, ein lo chazaka. Rabbi will say, an Egyptian window, there is no chazaka. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. What's a chalon ha-mitzris? Four lines down in the Y lines of the Rashbam. Kitanahi, ein lo chazakim asa chalon bekosel. So we're going to see an Egyptian window is a small little opening in the wall that a person often made just to be able to look into their fields. So we'll say, so remember again, this is a situation where I'm able to also look into my friend's property. Even though it's been there for 3 years, I don't have a chazaka. This goes back to our Hezek Re'iyah days in Bava Metzia. I don't have a chazaka of leaving that window there because since it's small and considered to be impermanent, my fellow never felt the obligation to object to its presence. However, now the Rashbam points out, by the way, that if I put in that window for light, I do establish a chazaka. We're not going to get into that now. For a tzuris window, Yesh la chazaka. There is a chazaka that I will say, because again, a tsuri window is much larger, and therefore, if it's there looking into my friend's field for 3 years, and my friend makes no objection about it, I've established a chazaka for the presence of that window. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ezi chalon ha-mitzvus. So we'll say, what exactly is a chalon ha-mitzvus? How do you define that? Kol shein rosho shal adam yachal likanes l'socho. We'll say, it's a window is so small that you cannot fit your head through it. Rabbi Yehuda, that's a chalon ha-mitzvus. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, im yesh la malbein, af api shein rosho shal adam yachal likanes l'socho, harizu chazak. We'll say, a chalon ha-mitzvus, also a typical chalon ha-mitzvus, we'll say, not only is small that you can't fit your head through, but what else? It's not framed. Others are both saying, what a chalon ha-mitzvus essentially would be what? Is that you removed a couple of stones from the wall. That's your chalon ha-mitzvus. But there is no frame there. Once there is a window frame there, then lemaisa, again, that becomes a more permanent, Once it becomes a more permanent entity, then what? That if it's there, and my neighbor does not object for 3 years, then what's Rabbi Osai? Then lemaisa, I could establish a chazak on that. So Rabbi Osai, I'll just end off with one piece. In the Sefer told us Yaakov Yosef. Yaakov was a student of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Rav Yaakov Yosef of Palnoi. So he says so beautifully. So the Mishnah says, a sulam mitzri ain lo chazaka. Right? So the way that we understood that a sulam mitzri is a small ladder. There is no chazaka for the sulam mitzri, the Egyptian ladder. But for the tsuri, for the larger ladder, there is a chazaka. So let's listen to this. Tell Yaakov, I'm going to read this to you. He says, sulam mitzri. What is it? What does it mean, a sulam mitzri? She'ole bo l'toevos mitzrayim in lo chazaka. Rabbi say, if a person in life is going up the sulam mitzri, Rabbi say, is the ladder of immorality, like mitzrayim, the ladder of immorality, the ladder of inappropriateness, the ladder of chit. If a person finds themselves constantly ascending and descending on the sulam mitzri, the good news is, ein lo chazaka. Rabbi say, it's a momentary lapse in my judgment, it's a momentary lapse in my behavior, but it does not define who I am. When the Jew engages in negative activity, Rabbi say, that is an aberration. That is not the norm. That's not the real me. Shafilu haya shatuf betavos elu har bizman, ein lo chazaka, the yochol lachzer b'tshuva u'mekabel moso. Rabbi say, even if a person has spent a lot of time on the sulam ha-mitzvi, on the wrong path in life, the sulam ha-mitzvi, that ladder of immorality, that ladder of inappropriateness, there is no chazaka. There's no chazaka that can never define who I am. On the other hand, sulam tsuri. I will say, what's the sulam tsuri? She'ole bo b'malas avodas Hashem tsuri v'goali. But Rabbi said, if you spend your life on the ladder of Hashem Tzuri v'goali, the Ribbono Shalom is my rak, the Ribbono Shalom is my redeemer, the Tzurian ladder, then yesh lo chazaka. Then Rabbi said, enough time spent on the sulam tsuri and the sulam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you can establish a chazaka for. Says the Talmud Yaakov Yosef so beautifully that the Mishnah is not just teaching us a halachic concept that the temporary ladder doesn't have a chazaka, the more permanent ladder does have a chazaka, but it's also teaching us an incredible hashkaf. Rabbi says sometimes in life we're just climbing up and down the wrong ladders. The good news is, no matter how long I have spent on the mitzri sulam, the wrong ladder of life, there's no chazaka. That does not define who I am. I could always get off that ladder. But the more time I spend on the sulam tsuri, ultimately the ladder of Hashem tsuri v'goali, the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more time I spend on that, Rabbi Osai, that I am capable of creating a chazaka, that I am capable of creating a permanence. It's that relationship, it's that behavior, and it's that approach in life that ultimately will endure. And we'll stop here. I'll pick up with the Gemara Mi'artz Hashem tomorrow. There's no Bekitzer. There's no Bekitzer. He holds that this whole thing with Rabbi Bino was a chalom. It was a dream. So there's no Kitzer on it. But, well, it's 5:30 tomorrow. I'll get it in.